From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, June 3rd. Coming up, one school district is trying something new for students who are learning English, bilingual education. District administrators say the class has boosted students' confidence and their academic performance. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. In a Thursday night debate among the four 13th Congressional District Republican candidates, agriculture was a major topic of discussion. Matt Hausman, an aerospace engineer, says climate change is a real issue affecting farmers.
This is why we need better energy policies. We need an all-of-the-above energy solution. The Farm Bill is coming up, and that's going to be big for our 13th District. Part of that with the Farm Bill, a big portion of that is nutrition programs.
Meanwhile, Terry Martin, a former political reporter, says the U.S. needs to increase its oil production to stop increasing energy prices. Regan Deering, a community organizer, supports the Farm Bill, increased rural broadband access, and better infrastructure, while Jesse Rising, a former federal prosecutor, who says his great-grandfather was a tenant farmer, spoke about robust crop insurance and lifting the ban on E15. The debate was hosted by Illinois Public Media. You can watch the entire event on our YouTube channel. Aurora Mayor Richard Ervin served as a punching bag for his Republican rivals for Illinois governor during last night's ABC 7 debate. Dave McKinney reports.
Ervin is far and away the fundraising frontrunner in the GOP field of six candidates. And the attacks against him started early in the debate from his rival, State Senator Darren Bailey.
I'm not interested in defeating you just because you're a Democrat. I'm interested in defeating you because you are a corrupt Democrat.
Ervin shot back.
And I won't be lectured by someone like Darren Bailey, who had a mask mandate on his own farm for the...
He can't tell the truth, sir.
Ervin also drew heckles from his rivals when he wouldn't define his specific position on abortion if Roe v. Wade is repealed. Gary Rabine, Paul Schimpf, Jesse Sullivan, and Max Solomon are also on the June 28th ballot. This is Dave McKinney.
Two cultural events are planned in the city of Lincoln this month, even after the city council denied a request for financial help. The council refused to vote on requests to fund Juneteenth, an event that marks the end of slavery in the U.S., and the Logan County Pride Festival for LGBTQ awareness. Jennifer Hunt is with Lincoln's Juneteenth committee.
It's disappointing, extremely disappointing. It's not unexpected. The city of Lincoln has a history of racial biasness, discriminatory behavior.
Juneteenth and Logan County Pride organizers say they're relying mostly on private donations to cover costs. Champaign County health officials report a woman in her 70s has died from COVID-19. This is the first COVID-related death since mid-April and brings the county's death toll from COVID to 296. Champaign County reported 158 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. There are nearly 500 active cases in the county at this time, with 15 people hospitalized. Still to come, a look at how bilingual education is helping English language learners in one St. Louis area school district. That story from Kate Grumke is coming up next on 217 Today.
Masterpiece's Ridley Road was inspired by the startling rise of neo-Nazis in the midst of the swinging 1960s London culture. Starring newcomer Agnes O'Casey as Vivian Epstein, the series tells the story of a young Jewish hairdresser who secretly infiltrates the British neo-Nazi hierarchy. Her loyalties are soon tested as she risks her life for love and country. Learn how you can stream the entire series right now at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. As schools are searching ways to help students who were disproportionately affected by the pandemic, one district in St. Louis County is trying something new. Kate Grumke reports on a teaching model that's popular in many parts of the country.
On a recent morning at Marion Elementary School in Overland, a class of second graders are paying close attention to their teacher, Jerry Ross. She leads them through an exercise to practice their letter sounds. Every kid is fully engaged, raising their hands enthusiastically to answer her questions. In this school in the Rittner School District, about a third of students speak Spanish at home, including all of the kids in this class. In the afternoon, Ross switches a light from red to blue at the front of the room to tell everyone it's time to switch languages. The students sing a new song.
Welcome all to the class in English.
Ross says virtual school was especially tough for kids like the ones in this class who are learning English. With that in mind, Rittner administrators were looking for ways to give students extra support. Ross spoke up.
And so I came to them with this bilingual classroom idea, and they were really curious on to see if it could work at Marion.
Every day the class is split. Students learn in Spanish in the morning and English in the afternoon. Decades of research has shown this method can really help kids learn. Instead of pausing all of their coursework until they're comfortable in English, students can jump into subjects like math right away. And Ross has seen positive results in her classroom firsthand.
I knew the research, but I've been so happily surprised by the astonishing growth they've had, and it's empowered them and the whole school to embrace this language diversity we have here.
Ross's principal, Belail Ewing, says they chose students who needed extra help for this pilot program. He was surprised to see how quickly Ross's class closed gaps in math and English language arts.
She's an outstanding teacher, but the results that she got with this class outpaced even the results that she had shown with her normal classroom the previous year.
This teaching method is popular in other parts of the country, like Chicago and Texas. In Illinois, it's even required in certain classrooms that have a lot of students who speak the same language. But
it's not very common in Missouri.
That's Lisa Dorner, an associate professor at the University of Missouri. She researches education policy and language programs like this one. She says there are similar dual language classes in Carthage, Missouri, and Kansas City public schools. But that's about it.
It is challenging to create these programs and do them really well. So there's a couple things that districts are usually worried about.
First, districts have to have a large concentration of students who speak the same language. In some local districts, there's too much language diversity for a program like this. Another challenge is implementing the program equitably. How do you make sure the kids who need it are able to access it? Finally, one of the biggest barriers is finding teachers who are qualified to do this work. The Rittner School District is facing that hurdle, says Assistant Superintendent Julie Hahn.
We just don't have the people. And even if you have the people, you have to have the right people. You have to have people with passion, compassion, a true understanding of language acquisition, and really want to do this particular job, because it's hard.
Back at Marion Elementary, students were sprinting out of the building after school let out. Carmen Morales Mora was there to pick up her son, Jerry Urbina Morales, who is a student in the bilingual class. The family moved to the U.S. from Mexico 2 years ago, and Jerry's first year of school was entirely virtual.
Fue muy difícil cuando fue por la computadora porque no se concentraba. Cuando
Morales Mora says Jerry had trouble concentrating because he couldn't understand the classes in English. Now Jerry says he has a lot of friends in his class, and his favorite subjects are art, math, and writing. Sitting across from his mom, Jerry reads from an assignment, talking about what speaking both languages has meant for him.
When I grow up, being bilingual will help me be a doctor. Being bilingual helps me because I can read better books and speak better.
Next year, Jerry and his classmates will be back in traditional class. If they need it, they'll still receive extra support from language specialists. But Rittner Administrator Julie Hahn knows this isn't perfect.
I do think that's one of our challenges. Now what? Because ideally, we would have a continuum of supports throughout their schooling, and we do not have the capacity at this time to do that.
The bilingual class isn't going away. Next year, Ross will teach a first grade class to try to reach kids even earlier. I'm Kate Grumke.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have more sunshine today with a high of 83 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Harrison Malkin, Dave McKinney, Ryan Denham, and Kate Grumke. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.